It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is back with us tomorrow. Coming up, we'll talk to a mathematician about how the laws of probability explain why things that seem improbable happen all the time. First, we're talking about the latest news from this year's Electronic Entertainment Expo. Every year, members of the video game industry get together for this conference known as the E3. Today is the last day. We have technology reporter covering it here to fill us in. Omar Agayaga is with us. He's a technology culture reporter for the Austin American Statesman. Omar, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, tell us, what is the E3 conference?
Well, this is a long-running conference that used to be mostly for press and industry people to kind of get together and show off the latest in video games, but it has really expanded its audience because everything is pretty much now is live-streamed. All of the major big kind of announcements from Microsoft, Sony, your Nintendo's, those are all live on the web. People react to them instantly, so it's become much more of a public event.
Well, and the industry is really big, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you see marquee video games that have a crew and a cost as much as some movies.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into the era of hundreds of millions of dollars spent on marketing and making video games like your Grand Theft Auto V, which in one day will bring in more money than, you know, any summer Hollywood blockbuster. It's gotten pretty pretty high stakes.
When I think of the electronic gaming world, I think of two main audiences. One, the hardcore gamer who's, you know, daily checking in for updates on the new Grand Theft Auto or what have you. And then a larger but maybe more casual bunch of gamers who play on their phones, their tablets, you know, games that take a few minutes or Words with Friends or something like that. Which side of that is the E3 geared toward?
Definitely the major announcements are more geared toward the hardcore, the people that are going to spend $60 on a video game like your Halos and your Tomb Raider type games. But it's interesting because so much has shifted toward that audience, that casual market of people that are playing on their tablets and their phones and only spending about 99 cents, if that, per game. So, yeah, it's a big challenge for those big video game companies, and they really haven't made inroads in mobile so much as you would expect at this point.
Who are the big players in that industry?
Well, the big three that you see at E3 that are making the huge announcements are Microsoft and Sony, which both had their presentations on Monday, and then Nintendo, which is kind of trailing up third right now. Its Wii U console has really not caught fire, so they've really been struggling of late, whereas the last generation, they were dominant with the Nintendo Wii, so things have really shifted, and really it seems like Sony is kind of in the driver's seat right now with this next generation of video game consoles with the PlayStation 4.
What are the hardcore gamers really looking at in this year's E3?
Well, last year, Microsoft really stumbled at E3. They made an emphasis on the Kinect, the kind of a camera attachment that was previously standard with the Xbox One. They have now separated it, kind of an acknowledgement that that was probably not a great move. Last year, they really focused on streaming, on ESPN. You can do Netflix, you can do this. This year, they really focused on games. They really kind of eschewed all of that to really say, no, we've got games too. It's not just all this other stuff. And I think that was definitely acknowledging Sony, which had a very successful E3 last year and really came out strong with the PlayStation 4, which has been selling much better than the Xbox One. So really, it's kind of a two-person race between Sony and Microsoft, with Nintendo bringing up the rear. And Nintendo, they had some interesting stuff in their presentation, but nothing that I think is really going to turn the tide. I mean, it was more kind of catering toward the people that are already in the tank for Nintendo. So really, Sony was very strong. Microsoft was much stronger than last year. But those were the big three players, I think, so far at E3.
Is there an emphasis on, you know, children and teenage gamers at the E3?
It's funny. I tweeted about that the other night when in the middle of Sony's presentation, they had this wonderful, wonderful demo of Little Big Planet 3, which is an upcoming game that is just gorgeous and wonderful and family friendly. They showed that. I got my kids, you know, to come look at the live stream. Hey, look at this game. This is fantastic. And then immediately after that, they showed a game called Bloodborne, which is the most violent game you're ever going to see on a video game. I was like, kids, get away.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I got a lot of whiplash watching some of these presentations because you have these really charming, great, family friendly games, and then shift to these bloody hardcore shooters. So, you know, it's they're trying to cover all their bases in these, you know, 1-2-3 hour presentations. But by doing that, they're really throwing a lot at the wall and trying to see what people react to and what sticks.
Is this an entertainment industry that hasn't quite grown up yet? Because when you go to see How to Train Your Dragon 2, you're probably not going to see a preview for the newest slasher flick.
No, that's a problem. That's a marketing issue. That's sort of a function of them only having, you know, this one shot to really get everybody's attention and kind of lay all their cards on the table. And especially, you know, Microsoft learned the hard way last year that, you know, if they're off message or they deliver something that gamers don't want, they're going to hear about it and they're going to have to change their strategy. So I think they're all being very cautious this year and really bringing out the big guns, you know, the things people are very familiar with, like Halo and Call of Duty and Metal Gear Solid, the things that the big titles and sequels that I think people are coming to expect, and maybe sneaking in a few kind of indie things. Actually, the game I'm hearing the most buzz about is called No Man's Sky, which nobody saw coming. It's a procedurally generated space game, you know, kind of a flying, and then you're in the sea and going from planet to planet. It's just absolutely gorgeous for the PlayStation 4. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody expected it, and it really kind of stole the show. So sometimes there'll be a surprise, kind of a curveball that you're not expecting, but for the most part, we were seeing a lot of stuff that you could have predicted. You know, another you know, Little Big Planet, another big Halo game, another Tomb Raider, another Call of Duty. It's getting to be pretty repetitive year after year.
Omar, all these things you're talking about seem to be console oriented things you plug into a TV screen. Most of my computer gaming is on a PC. You know, something I have on a desk. Am I a dinosaur?
No, not at all. There's still a huge market for MMO games. There's still, you know, a lot of these games that I mentioned are also going to be on a PC. Microsoft actually did very well with Titanfall, which is also a PC game. So yeah, no, the PC market is actually rebounded. There's been a really big resurgence in indie games for PC. Steam is a great marketplace for video games and has kind of helped revitalize the indie games market. No, there's still a lot happening there. And the elephant in the room that we haven't talked about is Oculus Rift, this virtual reality headset that could be the future of gaming. Sony's got its own sort of take on that, a product called Morpheus, but that won't be out till at least next year. We have no idea how much it'll cost. I mean, it's a little bit further down the line, but Oculus Rift is definitely making gamers think about how games that they're playing now are going to adapt to this kind of virtual reality setup.
Well, you mentioned some companies saying, hey, we got to focus on the game. It's in the game, to quote EA Sports' lead-in. But then Sony, one of the big three you talked about, saying they're creating a TV show. Where's that coming from?
Yeah, they're kind of a little late to the party of that. Microsoft had previously announced a Halo series called Nightfall with Ridley Scott involved. So what Sony is doing, they announced a show called Powers, which is based on a pretty popular graphic novel series by Brian Michael Bendis, and that will, I believe, debut later this year, and it's going to be included with people who are members of PlayStation Plus. So yeah, this is actually the first big original kind of TV content that Sony's been working on. But, you know, it seems like a pretty safe bet for them. It's based on a popular graphic novel. It's about superheroes. You know, it's pretty geek friendly. They're not going out on a huge limb by doing that.
A lot of us got our start in video gaming by putting quarters into slots. And one of those first games was Donkey Kong. The hero, Mario, is still with us. I gather there's a new version of the Mario Kart game that spun off from the spinoffs from Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and that's already out for the Wii U, and it's fantastic. I've been playing it. It's really fun. You can play it online. It's a great, great game, and it seems to be doing pretty well. The problem is Nintendo is not moving a lot of Wii U game consoles, and not a lot of people have the console to play that game, even though it's a fantastic game. What Nintendo did introduce this week that's kind of interesting is these figures called Amiibo. They're going to be little figurines that will interact with the video games, kind of like Skylanders, kind of like Disney Infinity. They're little collectible figurines of your Mario, your Donkey Kongs that you will be able to connect to your Wii U console that already has the hardware built in to do that. For the Nintendo 3DS portable console, you'll have to get an attachment to do that, but it basically wirelessly connects with them and brings those figures into your games where you can, you know, interact with them, you know, level them up, that sort of thing.
Briefly, I think of the big releases you talked about, the $60 games as targeted towards young men. Is there any attempt to capture, you know, a Generation X nostalgia market out there?
It's funny, you know, I mean, I grew up on video games as well. I grew up on PC games. The thing that got me most excited, I think, in all of these presentations was there's going to be an HD remake of a game called Grim Fandango for the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Vita. And that was a kind of an adventure game from, I believe, the 90s, and a very, very great Day of the Dead-themed adventure game from Tim Schafer back in the day. And they're going to kind of re-release this, kind of remake it in HD. You know, but that's something that, you know, if you're an old school gamer, that's something that's pretty exciting. The other thing that we haven't talked about is not a lot of women in these presentations, not a lot of women on stage, not a lot of women represented in the video games. I think that's a huge problem in games that needs to be addressed. And I really didn't see a lot in any of these presentations that shows we're making a lot of progress on that front.
We'll leave it there for now. Omar, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. A lot of fun. Appreciate it.
That's Omar Gayaga, technology culture reporter for the Austin American Statesman.